This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2, Legal Regulatory Issues, held on the 13th of April, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And Cheryl, I have you noted for now. Anyone in addition to Cheryl? I would like to remind.
Yeah, sorry, coming off mute. This is Kathy Kleiman, and I'm currently on the telephone bridge only because I can't get into the Adobe room. I'll keep trying.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy, go ahead and try a different browser. That seems to be kind of the key this week for whatever reason. Otherwise, this is Terry, and I'll send you a quick little email that maybe your plugins need to be updated as well. Okay, other than Kathy, I didn't hear anyone else. I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Michael Fleming. Please begin.
Thank you, Kathy, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and join us today. In the interest of, in the interest of time, Terry, that's your part. So I'm just going to go run through the agenda today. I would only ask that Steve or Emily, if you could kind of keep an eye on the chat, or maybe raise a, if someone has their hands raised and I'm not seeing it, if you could let me know, then I would really appreciate that. I'm running without Jeff or Phil today, in the Adobe at least. Phil, you're all on the phone. I do recognize that. Thank you. So let's go ahead and get started then. So welcome. Never too many times I can say that. SOIs, does anyone have any updates to their SOI? Well, behold, I have an update to my SOI. Actually, I did just add a few clarifications and revise a few typos. So, nothing major. All right. Does anyone else have an update to an SOI? Okay, then let's move on to our topic of the day. So, closed generics. In our last few calls, we had an introduction into closed generics, and we kind of looked at how they were defined. We also, in our very last call, we looked at the pros and cons of the closed generics based upon the public comment that the NGPC did, I think, in 2013. Or figuring out whether or not they needed to assign criteria to closed generics. The result of that was, as everyone is aware, that there was an, I hear audio in the background. Someone could please turn that off. That'd be fabulous. Thank you, Sue. Thank you. Yes, and so there was an update to the registry agreement, which in a sense forbidded closed generics at the time. However, the NGPC did flip this to us, or flip this to the NGTLD subpro in order to undertake whether or not closed generics needed to be looked at, or if the criteria could be assigned, or what we could do with it. So, in this sense, that is why we've been going over this. Just a bit of background information for those who are not with us in the past few weeks. So, specifically in the last call, my apologies, was that the pros and cons, we went over that, and at that point, we didn't have a lot of specific feedback as per what the cons might be. It seemed that a lot of individuals did provide us feedback with the pros, of course. What my intention for today is to take another look at the harms, at least, that were in the cons, and to see how, what kind of harm is being talked about, and to see if we couldn't address that in some way. And I will note that, Kathy, you did provide some great information right before this call. Unfortunately, I was right. Tyler went to bed, so I have not been able to capture all of that for today's call. We will talk about what we can do with that at the end of the call. Thank you. And so, yes, I went through, so I had staff put together this chart or these examples of the types of harm that were identified, and at the same time, we found a lot of different categories, or at least potential pieces of harm. And what I did was I kind of separated them out. Paul McGrady, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. So just for the record, when you say these are harms that have been identified, are these harms that have actually been identified or harms that have been asserted as potential harms? Because so far, I've not heard of any harms actually being identified. I know there are a lot of position papers that were put out on the listserv just before this call and other things like that that contained allegations of potential harm, but I've yet to hear of any actual harm caused by closed generics. Thanks.
Sorry, Paul, I have poor choice of words. When I meant I didn't mean – I shouldn't – sorry, yeah. Rather than identify, let's just use the word mentioned. From what we gathered from the public comments, these could be seen as a potential harm, or these were at least how individuals were interpreting closed generics to be harmful in some way. How about alleged or proposed? Okay, so alleged harm? Okay, let me use that terminology. Wait, Dagan, thank you. So alleged harms. Yes, let's call these alleged harms then. So these are a nice bulletin points of alleged harm. From there, I was able to find that they have that a majority of the comments actually talked about a harm to competition. And there was also mentioned, I'm hearing background noise again. Thank you. There was also the mention of the harm to the public interest. There were legal principles that were identified there. There was a lot of reference to ICANN bylaws, affirmation of commitments, the GSO policy. I don't think this one was GSO policy. I think it was GSO advice, perhaps, or we'll clarify that when we go down the list. And also the registry agreement code of conduct. There were mentions of the threat to the open internet, cultural harm, consumer confusion, and other trademark-related harm. So then, let's just get started here. So I'm just stopping really quick to see what's in the chat. Heather, you said based on Phil's comment? I'm sorry, I don't see a comment from Phil. Do you mean Paul? Okay. Yes, we'll make sure to update that. My apologies. Yes, and Paul McGrady made a mention that GSO policy on news utilities didn't prohibit on or even mention closed generics. That's probably a typo on my part. I think that the mention here was GSO advice or GSO, yes. So I will make sure to make that correction. It should be different from that. We'll identify that and seek the correct wording when we go down the line here. So let's go ahead and get started then on at least the examples of what we have. So first of all, we have the harm to competition. There are a number of comments here, but the first one we have is from a position that was held by the Retail Council of Canada. This includes IKEA, SDLC, Dot Food, Indigo Books and Music, IIA, Kobo, Alibaba Group, Yahoo, Acker, Rakuten, Jane, Isis Rocher, AIA, Black Knight Solutions, Alliance, and CTIA. The harm that was identified was a harm to competition, consumer choice, risk of consumer confusion. Some of these do have overlaps, and our interpretation here of the harm parties are end users and registrants, perhaps. This is a question. So, the comment that was made was these strings should be open and unrestricted since generic words used in a generic way belong to everyone. Allowing such closed GTLDs would harm competition, limit consumer choice, and confuse consumers. So I think one of the main points that that we kind of brought up in our last call was that a lot of the comments that were talked about, that were brought up in regards to potential harm, were that of, from what we could gather, were that from of competitors, where a competitor would have applied for a closed generic, and their competitors saw the harm to competition there and made a comment about it. So that was one of the things that we wanted to make sure we captured when we brought up the position held by. So that was just one special note. But does anyone have any thoughts on this, on whether or not the closed generics would actually seem to have a harm to competition? Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Can you hear me?
That's pretty good.
Great. This is Kathy Kleiman, and I don't have it in front of me, and I didn't send it to the group, but one thing you might want to look at, because it's one of the more recent materials on the matter, is a finding by the International Chamber of Commerce through the community objection process on .mobile. .mobile was applied for by some as an open GTLD, as some by a closed GTLD, and CTIA, formerly the Cellular Telephone Industry Association, objected to at least one application, if not more, on the grounds that it was a closed generic, that all the second-level domains were going to one competitor, literally one member of CTIA, rather than all members of CTIA, and they felt very strongly about that, and they bonded with international mobile organizations to register their concern before the International Chamber of Commerce. And they won, and the application was withdrawn. So if you want to see some really good language about the harms to communities, business communities in this case, of having all the second-level domains belonging to one competitor of a generic that the business and industry sees as belonging to all of them, that would be a great case to look at. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy, for the suggestion. So, yes, staff made sure to note that. I think a lot of the community comments, I think there were several community objections along a lot of those community objections did relate to unfair competition in some way when it was a community of businesses within that area behind it. Is my understanding. Let's have Susan then. Go ahead. Susan, you are on mute, and you are next.
Hi, it's Susan Payne. Sorry about that. I should say at the outset that I'm relatively on the fence on this, in terms of my current status. My current employer has had clients that we've represented who've been on both sides of this argument. So I'm not particularly advancing one position or another, but I would say that something to bear in mind in relation to the competition was an attitude that I and my company had in my former role when I was working for the BBC, which was that actually, given that we were we were facing an exponential growth in the TLD space that we were going to have to protect our brands in, there was to some extent some benefit from the idea that another brand owner might be securing a space for us, if you like, and the fact that a particular term in our industry might be a closed generic run by a competitor wasn't necessarily an entirely disadvantageous thing for us. So, there may have been some concerns about harm to competition, but they certainly for some brand owners were also balanced by the feeling that at least certain spaces could be safeguarded from greater abuse.
Thanks, Susan. Would you businesses balanced out greater abuse? Would you be able to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I can try. I mean, I'm just meaning, when you're faced with a number of TLDs and the prospect of needing to spend, significantly increased budget in defensively registering your brands in those new TLDs, the idea that some of them, so for example, if you're in the food industry and dot food is going to be a closed generic, and therefore, no one that you'd be concerned about will be registering your brand in that space, then to some extent that saves you having to spend the money on those defensive registrations. I don't know if that was a good explanation. I'm not sure that was very clear.
No, that was clear. Thank you. That helped me get better. Well, thank you. Paul, you have your hand up as well. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Paul McGrady. So in relation to a couple things, first, Kathy's example is not quite fully helpful here because that case happened after the 180 at the last minute to ban closed generics, and I think that panel was trying to fit a decision within a predetermined outcome based upon how ICANN flip-flopped on this issue at the end of the last round. And so it's sort of like saying there's harm in closed generics because a panel that has been told by ICANN that the terms in closed generics has found harm in closed generics. So, it's not, I don't think that's a really good thing for us to hang our hat on. Just by way of history, I think it's good to take a step back and talk about the history here, which is there is nothing prohibiting closed generics in the GNSO policy coming out of France. In fact, based upon the number of applications for closed generics, and there were quite a few, everybody believed the same thing, that there was no prohibition on closed generics. It wasn't until after applications went in, and I think a handful of registrars sort of figured out, hey, I'm not going to make any money on closed generics. That's not great. Then suddenly the issue got open for the first time, and then some folks on the GAC piled on, citing to potential competition harms that nobody really could, provide any real hard data or information on, but, that was that. And it was a snowball effect, and ultimately after a long and pitched battle with both sides fighting it out, the one side that was relying on the applicant guidebook as written and having spent money and resources getting an application together versus the other side, which, had a last-minute change of heart that they wanted everybody to adopt, the last-minute change of heart people prevailed. And so that's where we find ourselves today. There has never been an underlying substantive analysis on whether or not any of these harms are actual or whether or not these are all phantom harms designed to bring the community to do a 180 on this issue at the last minute in the first round. So I think, if we are actually going to reopen this issue, and I do have my questions about whether or not it's worth it, frankly, because this was, so hard fought last time. I do think we owe a duty to kind of go back and open it from the beginning and not just presume a bunch of harms, not just put up a bunch of quotes from comments that are all from the side that prevailed and ignoring comments from the side that didn't prevail, I think we've got to go back and do a real review. But I do question whether or not that's worth the time and effort because, like I said, this was so hard fought and the IT community hasn't changed all that much. And I think a different outcome is going to happen this time around if we fight it all over again. But if we are going to fight it all over again, let's do it right. Let's not jump to the conclusions that we jumped to today. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. So to kind of address that very quickly, as was in the NGPC request that we actually do take a look at this, is why we're kind of opening this up again. As for the approach about going back and doing a review on this, I'm open to suggestions about...
Yeah, real quickly, who asked for that? Because I think you just made reference to a committee that doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, correct. However, at the time, though, there was advice that was within the... there was a request within a meeting of the NGPC, I believe, in 2013 or 2015, but there was a request by them that we do look into this. And part of what's charted in within our, what we are tasked with is actually going over these closed generics to see if we cannot assign some criteria to. At least that's the way it is written in our chart, I believe. Steve, I think you are probably more, this is more of your area of expertise. You might be able to provide some input, some background on that.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve from staff. I don't know if I'd call it a realm of expertise, but I think your understanding is correct that there was an NGPC resolution, which, as Paul noted, has been disbanded or whatever the phrasing might be at this point. So the NGPC does not exist at this point. I don't think I know the intricacies well enough to determine whether or not an NGPC resolution would carry as a board resolution at this point. I'm not sure if Paul is trying to say that, you know, that because the NGPC does not exist anymore, that previous resolution would be no longer valid. I'm not sure if that's what Paul's trying to say, but as you mentioned, Michael, that was an NGPC resolution, and it did direct us to consider closed generics among, I think, a host of eight other subjects. Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you, Steve. So, yes, that's I just wanted to make sure that's why we're actually looking at this now. And Paul, if you do have suggestions about how to go about doing the approach, I'm more than happy to take them in and take that back. But I do want to make sure that we are looking at seeing what has already been said, just so we can see the, what was the terminology, the alleged harms. Kathy, you have your hand up again. Please go ahead.
Sure. Again, Kathy Kleinman, and thanks for allowing me to participate in the meeting today. I think I can see it in the chat. I can see it in the discussion. And there's very much a sense that closed generics are a good thing in this group. And so I'm not in a position here to lay out the case for why this issue exploded the Internet community in 2012 and 2013, and why there was an enormous amount of writing and concern, and the turn that Paul McGrady mentioned, that the ICANN board had to step in and say, no, we never really intended for closed generics, or you can interpret it another way, they don't belong. The outpour came from not just within the ICANN community, but outside of the ICANN community, and real concern that the closing up of basic words, and from a consumer trust point of view, that the idea that search would not be owned by one company. And here, I can feel the responses coming from you guys. So, Michael, as a matter of procedure, I would urge you to reach out to Michaeli Nalon, who couldn't join us today because he's getting up for a flight in a few hours, and others. There's a wealth of discussion and argumentation from both the public interest community and the non-commercial community and the registrar and commercial communities on this issue. And you can gather it together, and I am not here to present all of it. I'm not here to personify those arguments, but I really think you need to hear them, because the idea – and when companies like Google withdrew their applications, the fine print was, oh, we knew it wasn't really allowed, but we thought we'd try to get away with it. Don't quote me on that, and don't blog that. But that was the sense, and that's what we were hearing in the hallways. But, you know, registries provide domain names to registrants through registrars. And that whole system, and allowing everyone who did a search engine to have a domain name in search, allowing all beauty salons to be in .beauty. I hope you read the article I sent from The Hindu on this. I didn't write it, but someone did, and they had a big audience on the concern for L'Oreal owning all the domain names, all the second-level domains in .beauty. So I'd really urge you to reach out and hear what these concerns are before you dismiss them. And I can hear them being dismissed, so I just urge you to reach out to Michaeli Nalon, to Steve Del Bianco, to the person who wrote the Hindu article, who's in charge of a big Indian nonprofit, to hear what their concerns are and the monopolization of generic words where all second-level domains are pre-routed. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. And I do thank you very much for the articles that you have shared. My intention of this call is to kind of do something similar to that, where we do address those closed generics. It's simply getting into a lot of discussion already, which is very much welcome. Not sure that we're going to be able to go through all the material today. However, I'd like to take Susan and then Paul and then kind of move on to the next alleged harm. Susan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And again, just to reiterate that I'm not arguing one side or the other here. I don't have a sense from this call that the concerns that Kathy is suggesting are being ignored at all. I know Kathy's new to this group, so she may not appreciate that this is not the first conversation we've had on this topic. And I think views on both sides have been aired on a number of different calls. But I really I cannot allow to stand without taking some issue with Kathy's comment about the fact that Google changed the status of their applications from closed generics to more open model was a recognition that they were trying it on and that they never really thought they were allowed to do it in the first place. To be clear, I don't act for Google. I don't have any particular knowledge of their thinking and positioning, and I don't believe Kathy has any either. But I did act for other applicants who were applicants and had intended to operate what were subsequently termed closed generic or generic terms, which they were then informed they wouldn't be permitted to go forward with as a closed model. And as an applicant who's made a significant investment by that point, you know, well after the event, to then be told that their application won't be able to go ahead or at least have it sitting perpetually on hold with no prospect or no apparent prospect of it ever moving forward, you know, you have to make difficult decisions, and that is by no means an acceptance that you were trying it on and you never thought you'd get it in the first place. And I really take extremely strong objection to that.
Thank you, Susan, and that as well noted. Very quickly, Paul, and then I think we need to move on. Thank you.
Sure, Paul McGrady. So just two quick reactions to what Kathy said, not as extremely strong as what Susan did, but first one is Kathy said the board determined that closed generics were not welcome and essentially had to go away. That's not what they did. They actually told everybody, you've got to give up the applied for, right, that you applied for by opening up your string to your competitors, even though they didn't bother to apply, and to other people. Or in the alternative, you can sit there in the penalty box until the next round. So the board, as far as I know, has not reached a substantive conclusion, which is probably why they asked us to reopen this thing. So I think that that's not accurate. And then finally, Kathy made reference to, you know, registries, have registries to sell domain names to the second level consumers. Yeah, that was the primary model before the last round, but lots of other models have emerged since then. And this particular closed generic model was going to bring something new to the marketplace, but whatever competition was going to bring to the marketplace was stifled. So I don't think that we have to keep the .com model in mind only as we go through this process, because it's not the only model out there. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. And I will confirm that the NGPC resolution, or at least in this case, the board resolution, in a sense, was that they would change their application at the current time, withdraw, or that it would be deferred to the next round of the new GTO, sorry, the next subsequent procedures of the new GTLD. In that sense, that is a big reason why we are talking about this now, to see if we can't have a good look at it. So I'm going to move on. I'm sure everyone has a lot of comments and a lot of discussion in regards to this, the whether or not there's harm, whether or not there's no harm, this being a new business model. And those are all well noted points, and thank you for them. But there is an agenda here, so I'd just like to move forward. Thank you. So seeing as how we talked about, we put a lot of time on the last one, alleged harm, at least, we are going to kind of shift over to the next one. So, the next alleged harm itself. Greg, whatever would be a good idea, proposed document that parallels the cons document in the AC room. Greg, your comment is, I'm curious, I know we're going to move on, but really quickly, but Greg, if you could clarify exactly how you think that should be set up, that would be greatly appreciated, because we did provide a pros and cons document in our last call. Okay. If you think they should have... Hello?
This is specifically an excerpt from the public comments, so... That's what I was referring to. This is one side of the coin from the public comments.
Yeah, and so in our last call, we had the pros and the cons lined up together. This call itself is looking to identify within the cons itself what those potential what those alleged harms are, to see if we can't address them. So that's why this seems a little bit one-sided. That wasn't the intent, but it was more so to kind of discuss the alleged harms, and then for a future, to see if, for example, can these be dealt with or can these not be dealt with, was the intent on that. So I'm going to move on then. Thank you very much. So this next alleged harm is the ICANN Bylaws Affirmation of Commitments, GNSO, and counsel advice. If you scroll on down to the third comment here, it says GNSO counsel advice. The second one, yes, relevant GNSO counsel advice. So please forgive the GNSO policy error there. And registry agreement code of conduct. So I'm just going to read pick one example out of here. Let's look at the second comment. Other than for .brand GTLD applications, enforcement of the code of conduct is necessary to protect the public interest, and exemptions to it should not be granted. Closed generic TLDs are inherently anti-competitive unless backed up by trademark rights and are also at
complete odds with the very trademark law and principles that ICANN has sought to protect through such new RPMs as the Clearing Trademark Clearinghouse and the Uniform Rapid Suspension, URS. Closed generics are at odds with the affirmation of commitments and relevant GNSO counsel advice. They are not a new issue, and addressing them sets no precedent for other potential amendments to the applicant guidebook. The Code of Conduct's default position is an open registry, and exemptions should not be granted narrowly to protect the public interest. Position held by LAT, harm identified as a harm to competition, violation of affirmation of commitments and GNSO counsel advice, and I would also throw in there a violation of the code of conduct, perhaps, what I can read. And it says that the harm parties are registrants. So, does anyone have any thing to say on this one? I think I hear someone trying to speak, but you're not coming through at all. So, there are two things here that I... Hello? Oh, okay. There are two things here that I thought of when I was reading this was, first of all, I'm not terribly sure what relevant GNSO counsel advice there is on this. So if anyone does have that background, it would be very much appreciated that they could share it. And the code of conduct itself, I'm just trying to remember here whether or not that does specifically actually go against the code of conduct, because as far as what I can remember, the code of conduct talks about sole registry operating in its sole without... You know what, I can't remember at this time. I'm sorry. It's just too early in the morning for me to talk about that. But if anyone does feel that this actually goes against the code of conduct, then please let me know. Nobody? Okay. Paul, thank you. I knew someone would chime in. Thanks for coming to save the day. Go ahead.
Sorry about the delay. This is Paul McGrady. I was on mute. Why don't we read the code of conduct and see if there's anything in there about this?
That's a great idea, Paul. Steve or Emerald, could we actually bring up the code of conduct? I actually really like that suggestion because I don't see and I don't remember where the code of conduct it had specifically talking about closed generics being going against it. Could we kind of pull that up really quick? Ave, oh, you have something to say. Go ahead, please. Aubrey, it sounds like you're on mute.
Yeah, sorry. This is Aubrey. It took me a while to get off mute because I hadn't been expecting to speak. Yeah, I mean, while we're looking for the exact code of conduct, that certainly was one of the discussion items because it basically said that, you know, you have to be open to all registrars. You can't just make a special deal with one. And with a closed generic, there was an assumption that while there would have to be a registrar function, it wouldn't necessarily be open, as it were, to all registrars. Now, and this is a point made without my hat on, one of the comments that people were making was, it could indeed be open to all registrars. It's just, why would they want to put it on their shelves? So, I don't think we ever really dug deeply down that particular line of argument all that far in terms of to what degree is not having, in other words, when you make a deal with a registrar, you have to make the same with everyone. And so that was never voided by a closed generic. It just wasn't a practical opportunity, and so therefore it was considered as having been abrogated when it really doesn't appear like it was. But I think that was part of that whole argument, and I don't think that one was specifically resolved because it did get into, you know, other issues. So I just wanted to, while you were digging up the reading of it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Audrey. And yes, my memory is starting to come back a little bit here this morning. I haven't had coffee yet, but at the same time, I believe that the exemption to the Code of Conduct itself was when it was not necessary to protect the public interest.
Let's take a good look at it. Paul, you have your hand up. I'm just going to be scrolling down the page while you're talking, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I have it up, and I'm happy to walk through it if everybody will give me that much time.
Think that we are, at least I was there a moment ago, so I think you're good to go. I think we can all see it. There it is, back on the screen. Is everybody looking at my screen, or is it unsynced? Sorry, is it unsynced for everybody to look at? Unsynced. Okay. Well, Paul, you're free to go, so everyone should be able to see it now.
Okay, and I'm looking at it from a different page on the ICANN website, but I assume it will be the same. So, paragraph one, in connection with the operation of the registry for the TLD, registry operator will not allow any parent, subsidiary, affiliate, subcontractor, or other related entity, to the extent such parties engaged in the provision of registry services with respect to the TLD, to do the following things. Okay, 1A, directly or indirectly show any preference or provide any special considerations to any registrar with respect to operational access to registry systems and related registry services, unless comparable opportunities to qualify for such preferences or considerations are made available to all registrars on substantially similar terms and subject to substantially similar conditions. So this is not a prohibition against closed generics. This is a prohibition against closed generics that select only one registrar. So that paragraph does not speak to it. 1B, registered domain names in its own right, except for names registered through an ICANN-accredited registrar, provided, however, that the registry operator may reserve names from registration pursuant to 2.6 the agreement and may withhold from registration or allocate to registry operator up to 100 names pursuant to 3.2 of Specification 5. Not a prohibition against closed generics. It just says that if you're a closed generic, open generic, no generic, whatever, you have to register domain names for yourself through an accredited registrar. You can't do it on your own. So no mention there. 1C, register names in the TLD or subdomains of the TLD based upon proprietary access to information about searches or resolution requests by consumers for domain names not yet registered, commonly known as front running. Again, not a prohibition against closed generics. It's a prohibition against front running. You can run a closed generic without running a file of 1C so long as you do not front run the data. 1D, allow any affiliated registrar to disclose personal data about registrants to registry operator or any registry-related party except as reasonably necessary for the management of the operations of the TLD, unless all unrelated third parties, including other operators, are given equal equivalent access to user data on substantially similar terms and subject to substantially similar conditions. Again, not a prohibition against closed generics. It's a prohibition against feeding personal information about registrants to third parties. Of course, there would only be one registrant, and it would be the registry operator, so 1D seems almost completely irrelevant. Paragraph 2. If registry operator or registry-related party also owns also operates a provider of registrar or registrar reseller services, registry operator will not or will cost such registry-related parties to ensure that such services are offered through a legal entity separate from the registry operator and maintain separate books of accounts with respect to its registrar and registrar-reseller operations. So no prohibition against closed generics there. That one is just special conditions for related parties for registry-registrar separation. Paragraph 3, if registry operator or registry-related party also operates as a provider of registrar or registrar-related services, registry operator will conduct internal reviews at least once per calendar year to ensure compliance with the Code of Conduct within 20 days
Following the end of each calendar year, registry operator will provide the results of the internal review along with a certification executed by executive officer or registry operator, certifying as the registry operator's compliance with this conduct by email to an address. I'm not sure we need to keep reading the rest of that paragraph. Bottom line there is that, again, this has to do with the registrar separation. It has nothing to do with closed generics. You just have to do some extra certification if you happen to have both lines of business under one house. Again, not a prohibition. Four, that being said, 4.3 shall limit ICANN from conducting investigations of claims of registry operators not compliance with the code of conduct, provide grounds for registry operators refuse to cooperate with ICANN investigations of claims of registry operators not compliance with this code of conduct. Again, the right for ICANN to audit has nothing to do with being a closed generic, so four is not applicable. Five, nothing set forth herein shall limit the ability of registry operator or any registry-related party to enter into arms-length transactions in the ordinary course of business with a registrar or reseller with respect to products and services unrelated in all aspects to the TLD. Again, not a prohibition of closed generics, not even related. Six, registry operator may request an exemption to the code of conduct, and it can be granted and so forth. Exemptions to the code of conduct can't possibly be a prohibition within the code of conduct for closed generic. So as we can see by reading through specification 9, registry operator code of conduct, there's absolutely no applicability to closed generics unless, of course, a closed generic does something that would run afoul of essentially any registry operator, for example, registrar discrimination or having both registry and registrar services under the same house and not keeping separate books or defying ICANN's attempts to audit. But those things are not unique to a closed generic registry. So I think we can dispatch pretty easily claims that this would closed generic would violate somehow the registry operator code of conduct. It's just simply not in there. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul, and I very much thank you. I think we've knocked one of those arguments out of the window. The comment specifically made in this was the Code of Conduct's default position is an open registry and exemptions should only be granted narrowly to protect the public interest. As Paul, just reading this, has pointed out, the Code of Conduct itself is granted when it's not necessary to protect the public interest. So in this sense, I think the closed generic, the Code of Conduct being a default open registry argument has been addressed in this sense. Steve, can we move back to the comments and move on unless somebody else has something to say about this? And if they do, please be very brief. Nope, okay. I see that I hear some audio in the background a little bit. If you could all mute your speakers, please, when not speaking. I would appreciate it. Let's move on to one more of these discussions, one of these more alleged harms, since I think we kind of ruled that out. There are other aspects here that are being looked at, the ICANN bylaws, the affirmation of commitments. I think those are more so related to the public interest, or ICANN being for the public interest. So they're not very specific themselves here, so I just want to kind of put them behind us at the current time. Threat to open internet. This is a new one. So we have a comment here, very brief, but it's made by a lot of parties. Closed JTLDs should not be allowed. They are a threat to the openness and freedom of the internet. I'm going to read one more because that isn't really helping us too much to have. It's kind of a broad statement, and there isn't much documentation to be based upon that, at least presented here, so it's difficult to address that. There's a really long one that was posted by OIT again on the public interest or the openness of the internet. I'm going to go through this very quickly. Closed generics introduce distortions in gaming of the application process. Again, example given, I hear somebody speaking again. If you have something, please raise your hand or speak clearly. given Google's decision that its Charleston Road subsidiary would not purchase tickets for its generic word TLD applications, thereby delaying competitors' applications. Closed generic TLDs are also cross commercial exploitation of a program needed to benefit the public, the global public of internet users. ICANN has no mandate to auction off the most significant words in all major languages for the exclusive use of private properties, as if they were selling naming rights to a municipal sports stadium. If ICANN fails to find closed generics incompatible with the protection of the public interest in this first round of the program, it can expect to be deluged with such applications in the second rounds as global corporations seek to lock up key generics before their competitors do. This will pervert a program that was meant to expand and open the DNS into one that permanently closes off large and significant sections, which is incompatible with benefiting internet users as well as with ICANN's long-term interests. So a lot of points raised here are distortions beginning the application process, harm to openness. So I think this could be kind of the effect of harm to openness can kind of be looked at in this will pervert a program that was meant to expand and open the DNS into one that permanently closes off large and significant sections. I unfortunately fail to understand a little bit what those large and significant sections are. The program itself was to expand competition and consumer choice and consumer trust. From my understanding, Kathy, go ahead.
Sure. Let me read to you one of the postings of Michaela Nalon, and yes, Susan, and yes, Paul, I know it's not legal. This is a blog posting. He wrote, and I think this is useful for the evaluation of this group now, if you're not a domain geek, then the danger of this issue might not be that easy to understand. So here are five reasons why closed generics are a really bad idea. One, the Internet thrives with freedom of choice and openness. And, Michael, you just read one that didn't have a lot of explanation, but all those positions, there were dozens under the closed Internet, closed UTLD should not be allowed. They're a threat to the openness and freedom of the Internet. There's, you know, this huge paragraph, it runs half the page, of organizations. I'd have to look up all of these, organizations that appear to support that with letters or something that they wrote to ICANN or presented, from the Retail Council of Canada to all sorts of other groups. I'd really keystone security systems. So I would think that there's a lot more under that bullet point than we're exploring that would be in whatever letters and communication they made. Okay, so back to Michaela. So the Internet thrives with freedom of choice and openness. Number two, dozens of applications to ICANN for new GTLDs seek to completely segregate and close off common words for use by one company rather than for the entire industry, group, or class. Number three, generic words belong to all people, .cloud.beauty.book.blog.search.security should be open to all with appropriate interests and industries. Four, closed generic TLDs lead to unfair closures and improper restrictions. Companies will be barred from using the generic string of their industry to promote their own businesses on an equal and fair footing online. Entrepreneurs and inventors will be inhibited from bringing new products to market for fear that a large segment of the Internet marketplace will be closed to them. And consumers, thinking they are accessing an entire industry, will not know the namespace is controlled by one entity and competitors are locked out. And this was a big deal in .mobile. Number five, ICANN rules allowed a limited exception for brands to create a closed space, .bmw, but not for entire classes of goods, services, and people to close off .store, .cars, .baby. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Those are well-noted points, and I do have a few individuals that are echoing in the chat that this is from the standpoint of, and Kathy, sorry, not like I'm trying to tackle you down or anything like that, but just as the counter presentation of that is that that is the standpoint of selling domains. Hello? I hear somebody. If somebody would like to say something, could you please identify yourself? Hello? The voice keeps coming up. It's like this. The AC room is being haunted today. Not sure who that is. So Emily, yes, thank you. Emily has provided the full blog post here. So nobody can hear that voice except me for some reason. So my apologies. So I guess I'm being haunted myself. We've had a lot of good discussion here today, and I'm going to wrap up this call because we are nearing our time. I'm sure everyone, we could talk about this for hours and days and probably even months and years. But just kind of to wrap up from what I've heard today, and I do quote this from an unknown source, but from what seems to be the discussion today was that what is more important to the community? And we're looking more so at registry innovation, where we'd be pro-closed generics, or registrant choice, no closed generics. So that's just my final two cents on this. If anyone has anything they'd like to say in regards to this, please feel free to add it to the chat. Where we go from here, I'm going to take this back with our leadership team to see if we can't figure out a road forward. Does anyone have any other business that they need to bring up at this point? No? All right, then. Our next call is scheduled on the 27th of April at 21 UTC. I will see you then. This is Michael Fleming saying good night and good day to the good world.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining us. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.